Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam and welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. And myself and Khadija Ibrahim are certainly delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. And it's a lovely Thursday morning, the 24th of February, corresponding to the 15th of Jamadul Ula already. Assalamu alaikum, Khadija, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we're all well, shukran. I hope all the listeners are also well.
And jazakallah for allowing us into your homes, into your kitchens this lovely Thursday morning. Well, lots to look forward to yesterday's lineup. We're going to commence with the health segment. And Sister Zaida Mohammed, who has studied health and nutrition, and she's the author of many recipe books called Half Past Eight, Savory Journey Express. And our topic of discussion today is on dairy. So, Assalamu alaikum, Zaida, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for joining us this morning, and we look forward to another lovely, informative interview with you.
Inshallah.
Now, over the past several centuries, cow's milk and its byproducts have come to be seen as an all-essential part of the diet of most humans. Milk is absolutely in order, as you all know, Almighty Allah has created for us natural foods on earth. We also know that on the trip to the seven heavens, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was offered wine and milk, and he chose milk. Whereas Jibreel alayhi salam said, "You have accepted what is natural." We're also aware it is a full protein food that nourishes, but today we have many people with dairy allergies, and many health doctors are keeping them off dairy, not just for allergies, but to heal from sicknesses and diseases. So we ask our health expert, Sister Zaida, who has studied health and nutrition, to give us insight into our morning cereal poured from the box topped with milk and all our milky drinks we feed our children. Are they really nutritious and healthy for us as we think it is?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Coming to the morning cereal poured into a bowl is another story for another time, inshallah. Almighty Allah mentions in the Holy Quran, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," and verily in the cow there's a lesson for you. We give to you a drink which is in the bellies from between excretions and blood. Labanan, holisan, pure milk, palatable to the drinkers. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. What has been meant to be a beneficial food as it is mentioned in the Quran, as it was beneficial in the past, is unfortunately not so in our era. If dairy milk was actually produced in a humane and safe standard of which the animals can still enjoy a mostly natural life and share the productions with us in a way that does not amount to cruelty, illness due to grain feeding and mass extortion, then there wouldn't be problems with it. But when it comes to nutrition, it is a very difficult time to be a mother, as we form part of our comfort foods, but the health of children and adults often improves when dairy is eliminated. And also we find there's many scientific evidence suggesting that the consequences of consuming dairy which is pasteurized are devastating. It appears likely that no other component in the modern diet causes more pain and suffering, including premature death and disability, than dairy products.
Mm-hmm. Now, Zaida, I find it very interesting what you have just mentioned, that no other component in the modern diet causes more pain than dairy. We drink our chai, our cereal, desserts, are part of our life, chocolate, and we simply just cannot resist it.
Yeah, today we are on about food, food and more food. We want to create the latest dish, show our food intelligence by coming up with the new recipes, adding this chocolate or that cool drink to baking, or food and that additive containing spice to some so-called exclusive dish. But Sister Mara, just check what Auntie Khadija is doing there. I think she's cracking that Bombay Crush recipe. It goes very well with kebab. It's time we start seeing the truth of our thought of food and what it's doing to us. There's compelling scientific evidence that our consumption of dairy products is strongly associated with the common problems we are suffering today. Childhood onset type 1 diabetes, constipation, ear infections. How many kids are going for gormets these days? Then we have the sinus, skin problems, rash, eczema, hives, acne. These are one of the most common complaints I'm hearing at present from babies to adults. Asthma, irritable bowel syndrome, arthritis, joint pain, osteoporosis, another common complaint, cancer, lymphoma, leukemia, prostate. And studies have shown higher dairy intake is linked to higher ovarian cancer risk. This is just a very short but common list of issues facing us today. And I hear this all the time. It is the pasteurization of milk that does it, as it kills all the calcium and the beneficial nutrition that's required for our bodies. There's nothing left, so how can we be benefiting from such milk? And of course, according to Robert Cohen, who's the executive director of the Dairy Education Board and NotMilk.com, milk consumption is to blame for a variety of health woes, including some of what I just mentioned, even stroke, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm. Quite interesting, Zaida. Now, milk, cheese, yogurt is part of our life, and we're always told it's good for our teeth and bones, it gives us strength. But now it's really not that anymore. Why is it?
The problems with our milk today are numerous. I'm not saying go against drinking milk. It's a food mentioned in the Quran, a sunnah food. But let me explain why our milk today is crippling us with disease today. The reason is we are not getting the milk we are supposed to be consuming. Yesterday I was reading an article on milk, and it said in 1970 one cow would yield 9,700 pounds of milk. But now one cow today can yield up to 19,000 pounds of milk. Now how is this possible?
Absolutely.
It's possible with the interference of man. And cows are doped on growth hormones to produce far more milk than it can naturally. And according to Vivian Goldsmith, who's the founder of Save Our Bones organization, there are a variety of myths surrounding milk consumption. One of the first myths, she says, is that drinking milk creates healthy bones because of the calcium found in milk. But our milk of today is a processed food. Milk is pasteurized and homogenized. And the cows that produce the milk are given hormones and antibiotics, which, of course, wind up in our milk. And Goldsmith then links hormonal additives to cancer. You may not understand these terms, but in short, they mean they are not natural and they are causing us harm. And in a study of milk in 20 different countries, high milk consumption correlated directly with heart disease and type 1 diabetes. The intake of these hormones are leading to early puberty and prostate cancer in men.
It's so true. You know, when it comes to early puberty in girls, they actually become barley so early because of the hormones.
Yes.
Besides the milk, I mean, you have the steak and things like that. It comes from the cow, so it's all hormones. So do you advise we get milk from organic cows that are not hormone or grain fed, etc.?
We need to ask the supplier whether we get a correct answer or truthful answer is another thing to see. But if the organic cows are milked while they're pregnant, because you know when we are pregnant our hormones are very high. So producing milk that's full of hormones is usually the case. In fact, the average glass of milk has 60 different hormones in it, and these are called anabolic hormones, which basically means they help you to grow. But not all growth is good. You don't want to grow cancer cells. You don't want to grow big bellies. You don't want to grow in ways that actually may be harmful for you. And in the Kitab of Healing with the Medicine of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, authored by Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, who mentions which is the best milk to drink. Number one, milk is best when it is just milk. Our bottle says last for 29 or 35 days unopened. Number two, milk is best when the calf is 40 days old. So this means the first 40 days after the birth of the calf, that milk is not good for us. This is for the calf only. Sadly, I have watched videos where the calf is taken away from the mother just after birth. And number three, milk is best when it is from young, healthy animals. They are lean and they solely graze on healthy grazing fields. So I have one question for the listeners. Do you think our milk is meeting up to the standard or not? Who is questioning all this? Are we as mothers and listeners of Radio Islam afraid to stop dairy products? Do we secretly think something terrible will happen if we stop our children with dairy products? It's not true. Something good will happen to you. That runny nose will stop running. Those chronic ear infections will disappear. Those black circles under our eyes will go away and not come back unless you start drinking milk again. The trips to the doctor, the hospital will become fewer. I've seen this with one of my health workshop students whose monthly doctor's bill outweighed her grocery bill. And she is a doctor's daughter herself. And when mothers come to me for help for their sick kids, the very first thing I say is to remove the allergy foods, and dairy being one of them. I can tell you I am really not popular with these kids, but once these mothers see the improvements in her children's health, she becomes a strong advocate of a dairy-free nutritional program herself. And the evidence that this is sound advice is clearly seen in the results with our children and all those adults who remove the allergen foods from their diet.
Now, Zaida, is there any way we can do a test to see if the milk is harming us?
You can, I suppose, go to a doctor and say, send me for an allergy test on the foods or whatever. But you can do a simple test at home. Remove milk, yogurt, cheese, chocolate, all the dairy things. for a month and see how you feel. Does your post nasal drip go away? Do your sinuses clear up? Does your acne go away? Do you have more energy? Does your eczema clear up? Do your allergies get better? These are just very simple things you should notice when you eliminate dairy. Then try eating dairy again and then see how you feel. Do these symptoms return? There's no magic pill that will clear all the stuff. It's just a bit of common sense by sensible eating, which is to take stock of what you put in your mouth. Is this nutritious food or is it toxic to your body?
So it's best if you go and get some organic milk.
You've got to go back to milking that cow without any hormones, antibiotics, cruelty. You know, all these have to be avoided now.
You know, those days they used to actually come selling milk from the farms and we used to actually boil it. And at the top of the milk, when you boil it, you get that malai out of it.
That
was really pure milk.
That milk is not homogenized milk. When we talk about homogenized milk, that is what they don't want the milk to the fat to settle on top. So they take the fat from the milk and they combine it inside the milk. And this is what homogenized means. And then when we ingest this milk, because it's going through a chemical procedure as well, it penetrates the intestinal wall and it can cause damage to the arteries and heart and even resulting in heart disease.
You know, on the subject of milk, many people prefer, but it's not very tasty, goat's milk. What are your thoughts on that?
Goat's milk is the closest to breast milk, so I know a lot of mothers want to know what to give their baby. So instead of cow's milk, that will be a better milk to give to. But from Hadith, the best milk to give to drink is the cow's milk.
The cow's milk.
Goat's milk, yeah.
Zaida, what are your concluding remarks?
If you drink milk, look for a raw source that is not pasteurized, nor homogenized. If we stop buying the harmful milk, if everybody stops buying the milk and drinking all the small shakes and everything, the milk suppliers will be forced to give us what we want because their milk is, there won't be any money for them anymore. So now they will try to look for tayyib means for us, inshallah. And also take note, I'm not a health fanatic, I'm not as obsessed with health, but I'm greatly concerned about all the sick people who are not getting relief from other treatments and are constantly suffering. You owe it to your children to eat clean and not damage their juvenile hormones. There are many people who are concerned about what they're consuming these days and have proved it that there's no side effects after eliminating the normal dairy. So we put the listeners of Radio Islam to a 1 month to 3 month trial of going dairy free, and then we can message you, Sister Mara, and give feedback on that. And if you can obtain raw milk, it's not associated with any of the health problems associated with pasteurized milk, such as rheumatoid arthritis, skin rashes, diarrhea, and cramps. Even people who have been allergic to pasteurized milk for many years can typically tolerate and even thrive on raw milk. Raw milk is truly one of the most profoundly health foods you can consume. Unfortunately, it is not commercially available for most of us, so you'll need to locate a local farmer as a supplier. And with this, I leave you all wondering what you will be doing with the milk and cheese in your fridge or about to eat chocolate pie nearby.
And the yogurt and the milkshakes and the fresh creams.
I think Khadija has changed the recipe there very quickly.
Saira Jazakallah for a very informative, very inspiring program on dairy. And, you know, it really opened up a lot of, you know, I actually found very informative. It's like, you know, it makes you think so much, you know, about dairy. And, you know, you can actually see
how
it makes a big difference.
And how we are just using it every day without realizing the harms it's causing to us.
So stop milk. And what's the alternative then?
The raw dairy.
The raw dairy.
And you know, also with milk, you get a few people who cannot tolerate the dairy. They may not agree with it, and people with headaches and certain kind of problems shouldn't be having, even if it's raw dairy. So if you want, we're looking at the milk for calcium. If you need calcium, you get it from all our greens.
Jazakallah, Zaira. Always a pleasure having you. Inshallah, I'll chat to you next month on a different topic.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Well, that was Sister Zaida Muhammad. She's the author of many recipe books, and she also studied health and nutrition, and a very interesting topic on dairy. And I feel also, you know, it makes a big difference.
So true.
Yeah, if you stop. Actually, people feel better if they stop the dairy. But you can have stomach problems, you can have like sinuses and blocked noses and various other problems. So always look for organic milk.
Yes, why not? Alternative.
Well, let's go for a short break, but before we do that, coming up next is our homemaking segment, and it's part of My Bliss campaign, tips to make your household detergents last longer, also smart ways to stretch your cleaning products. And thereafter, coming up in our cooking segment, we're talking about cutlets and sea kebabs. We've got hints and tips on how to make a perfect sea kebab, your cutlets as well. And then recipe segment, we're sharing with you a selection of cutlet and sea kebab recipes. We've got a cutlets recipe, kebabs recipe, 4-in-1 cutlets, and a Sikh kebab recipe. So our theme on the cooking segment today is cutlets and Sikh kebabs. And the question we're asking you today is, tell us, how do you stretch your cleaners? How do you make your household detergents last longer? And also on the cooking segment question is, what is the best type of kebab you've eaten and from where? So what is the best type of kebab you've eaten since and from where? You can WhatsApp me or SMS me on 082-565-8648. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. While my engineer Usama says we've got a call online, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Appa, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Appa?
Alhamdulillah. I heard your program on the milk.
Si.
I just got back from India 2 weeks ago. And we lived in the with my mother's cousin in the village.
In the camps, yes.
In the camps. Mm-hmm. And we had the purest of milk.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thick, creamy milk.
Milk, yes.
You know, my aunt used to boil the milk and gather all the malai.
Yes.
You know, it's as thick as yogurt, the malai.
And it's pure milk.
Pure milk.
Mm.
You know, okay, I had the runs for a few days, you know.
Yes.
From eating the cream, the malai.
Yes.
But, and then what's left over, she makes ghee with it.
Right, correct, yes.
Yeah,
and it's pure ghee.
Mm-hmm. And it's, everything is pure.
Pure.
You know, the food was good.
Mm.
The vegetables, the guy comes from the farm.
The farms, yes.
Little bit of spring onions and brinjals and turna dana and all that, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, it, everything is fresh.
Fresh from the farms, yes.
Fresh. Only thing is that that my uncle told us that not to drink the water.
Yes.
Because it's not pure.
It's not pure, yes.
One well in the village.
Mm-hmm.
That they get clean water.
And which village did you stay in? Which camp did you stay in, sister?
In Kacholi.
In Kacholi. Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember a good few years back when we were in India, and even before the time of Fajr, you find those people coming on the trolleys. And they actually come in and sell milk.
In those cans,
yes. And I can remember that back then. And the people from the camp should take it out and then boil it. And they together they actually eat the malai.
It is just so nice, you know.
And healthy.
Food. Mm-hmm. You know, all the food is healthy.
Yes. So thank you for calling and sharing that with us, sister. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Jazakallah, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
Do you have another caller? Okay, let's take our second caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam. Appa?
Sister, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, and you?
And you're calling us from?
I'm calling you from Bertrams.
From Bertrams, yes, sister. Welcome to the program, and you may go ahead.
Jazakallah. So, Mara, I would like anyone out there who can give me a tip to how to wash the mutton, because you see my granddaughter, she doesn't want to eat mutton anymore because there's a smell.
Okay.
And usually I put flour, I put vinegar, and I put lemon juice and wash it about 3-4 times. And still the smell is there, so she stopped eating mutton and she loves mutton.
Okay, sister, you can listen on air, and Adikacha will share the tip with us. Jazakallah for calling, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
Do you have another? Okay, let's take our last call online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Auntie, how are you all? Waalaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Auntie Zaybun, you may go ahead.
Okay. All I want to say is Zaira is an amazing, amazing young lady.
Mm.
Honestly. She has got a world full of knowledge as far as health matters are concerned.
Absolutely.
And we have learned so much from this young person. It's incredible. Shaira, jazakallah so much. I really need to say thank you on air because I truly, truly appreciate your input insofar as the health matters go. May Allah honestly give you lots and lots and lots of strength to carry on with this amazing work because you do so much research before you share. Health matters with us.
Jazakallah for calling in at this table. And we echo your sentiments as well.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Indeed, we echo at this table's sentiments. I've learned so much from Zaira, you know.
Definitely.
I've really learned so much from it. Zaira, thumbs up for you. Jazakallah khair. Well, let's, and again, we've got some quick questions coming in here. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, hope you both well. Jazakallah for the lovely programs. Really learn a lot from Aunty Khadija and yourself. A question, how do you marinate fish for battered fried fish? I have the batter recipe you shared a while back, just looking for the marinade.
Well, when you're making fish that's battered, you don't really have to marinate it. You just salt and pepper it. If you want to put a bit of red chilies, and that is it. You don't have to put anything else. It has to be very plain and simple. Just normal plain salt, pepper, and if you want, a bit of red chilies. And you just leave it to marinate for a while. And then you dip it first in flour and then in the batter. So what happens, the batter won't fall off the fish.
Okay. And also, I think most importantly, your fish must be dry.
Yes. You have to dry.
Let your fish nice
totally
dry. Then you season it.
Yes.
Okay. Then another one, Antigraja, on the subject of milk, how do you prevent, you know, when you're making kheer or you're boiling milk, how do you prevent that thick layer of cream coming to the top?
You see, the minute you finish do it, then you have to try and close it with a lid. So the top, sort of dries, layer don't come up.
Another way you can, if you keep stirring it, if you while you're boiling it,
no,
that also.
That you have to do it while
now,
you're boiling.
Also, what
once
another,
you put it in a bowl. You have to try and cover it with a lid. But then again, it has to cool down a little and then you close it.
You know what worked for me? It's a cling wrap.
Yes.
Put a piece of cling wrap over.
It works, actually. It works.
It works.
It does.
You're making custard.
Then you don't get that dryish layer on top.
Yes. Especially when I make the vermicelli dessert, you put a thick a piece of cling wrap
over. First and then you cover it.
Yes, okay. Then another tip, somebody actually requests a hint here. She says her son left a can of shaving cream on the basin, and now it actually left a rust stain on it, on the basin. So I actually messaged her back and I said she could try making a paste of bicarb and vinegar. And she could try that out. But if anybody else has another hint for the sister, you can SMS us or WhatsApp us on 082-565-8648. Well, let's now go to our It's My Puss campaign segment. And it tips to make your household detergents last longer. And it don't automatically fill both dispensers in your dishwasher. The detergent box recommends it, but it's better to adjust the amount of detergent to the soil level of the load and the hardness of your water. Start by filling each cup halfway, adding a bit more for extra dirty dishes and hard water. Plus, using too much detergent can leave a foamy residue on your glasses and flatware. Glassware as well. Also, you know, when it comes to your laundry detergent as well, I know the numbered lines inside the detergent caps are impossible to see, but with today's 2x and 3x concentrated detergents, a full cap is too large a dose for most loads. Adding more detergents won't get clothes any cleaner. Instead, laundry can still be soapy at the end of the cycle, and front loaders, washers that are sensitive to excess suds may shut down. Mm-hmm. And you find your washer always staying hard.
Yes. Yes.
So just put a little bit about your detergent. Instead, you get your soap powders, you get your liquid ones now as well, and they're actually quite 2x and 3x concentrated.
Yes.
So use a little bit as well. Then if you're using like furniture polish or any other spray, any surface things, what you should do is don't spray the furniture, spray the cloth, not the surface.
Yes.
And when cleaning mirrors, polishing furniture and shining stainless steel appliances, spray the cleaner directly on the rag. Spritzing the surface often wastes product and leaves behind excess cleaner that requires more wiping and extra buffing to remove. No need that. That you don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you choose a foaming bathroom tub and tile cleaner, these cling to vertical surfaces better than thin sprays do, so you get more muscle from less product. After spraying a small section of tile, use your sponge or your cloth to spread it around. Wait a few minutes for the foamer to penetrate the soil, then wipe or rinse the surface cleanly. So I think that's quite important how you can actually stretch your household detergent. Mm-hmm. In that way, you can save money as well, and it makes you last longer as well.
Of course,
and right. With the cost of living, every time, like we said, every time you go to the supermarket, your toast strip just adds up every week. Let's now go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to go on to our cooking segment, and we're talking about cutlets and sea kebabs, hints and tips on how to make your sea kebabs, and lovely recipes. We're sharing with you a cutlet recipe, a kebab recipe, 4-in-1 cutlets, and a sea kebab recipe. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the cooking segment and recipe segment of Radio Islam. Well, Auntie Khadija, this sister says, she's actually responding to our question, what is the best type of kebab you've eaten since and from where? Mm-hmm. She says it was definitely the sea kebabs I had in Pakistan in 1985, strong but very yummy. If my memory serves me right, it was at Bundukan.
Okay.
So that's a nice one coming through. Well, we're going to take our share with us, our messages just after the after our recipe segment, because our time is running out. It's amazing how time goes in this program,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And can you tell, when you're making cutlets, which mince is better to use, chicken, mutton, or beef?
I think most of the people will say chicken, because that's the most common one that people use. But you can use either steak or mutton also. Again, it's entirely up to the individual what they want to use. But basically, the chicken is always the most popular one.
Okay. When you're frying your cutlets, is it better to dip it in flour and then egg?
Yes. That's a very good tip. You have to first fry, dip it in flour, then in egg, and then in crumbs.
Okay. Now, when it comes to kebabs,
yes.
Okay, how do you get your kebab to actually bind?
Okay. The most important thing is the crumbs. You must remember, you must always put normal dry crumbs. It actually
into your kebab.
Yes.
Bread crumbs.
Normal bread crumbs. And it binds the mixture very well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you put onion and egg inside, then it makes it nice and soft.
Okay. And what about your normal bread?
You see, normal bread, what happens, sometimes it makes lumps in the bread. In the dough. In the mixture. That is why it's best to use normal dry crumbs.
Bread crumbs.
Gee.
Okay. And in your onion?
Well, I do that. In the onion, you have to grate it and squeeze the water out, and then you add it to your mixture. This makes the kebabs nice and soft, and it gives a nice flavor also.
Okay. What would the ideal spices be to use and to season your kebabs?
Well, it's basically a green masala with little salt, pepper, chicken spice, little lemon juice. That's the basic, most of the recipes called for that.
What are your thoughts, what are your ideas, what is your view on using the box spices? You get this different types of brands like the National, the Shan one, you get a kebab mixtures and that.
Yes.
Have you used that before?
No, I really didn't use none of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just find you do it the plain and simple way, and it's the best always.
It's the best, yes. Mm-hmm. And then okay, let's quickly share that tip for the lady with the mutton before we go on to the recipes.
You see, I think her problem is, like she says, she soaks it with vinegar and she puts the flour and all of it. But when you're cooking it, try and cook it with quite a bit of onion and you must
braise.
The important thing here is you have to braise the meat properly.
Yes.
Then you won't get the smell.
Okay, so the display, this is actually listening in. Try and braise your mutton.
Yes.
You know,
make a nice big vagar.
Yes.
The vagar is important. You make a nice vagar, but then you have to, like in Gujarati, they say, kahe the meat nicely.
Okay.
You have to braise the meat till it's totally nicely braised, and then you add your tomato and whatever you want.
Okay. This sister says, mutton soak in Worcester sauce for 1 hour.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know about that.
I know, first time I heard of this. But then it's worth a try,
probably.
Why not? We can try it out, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So also, what we can do is also try and braise your meat, even with chicken or mutton.
Yes.
Especially mutton, you have to braise it.
Anything.
And you have to use nice, your lovely spices, your masalas and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's now go on to the recipe segment of the program, a selection of steak kebabs and cutlet recipes. We begin with the first recipe, it's a cutlet recipe.
Okay, for the cutlet recipe, it's 500 grams of chicken mince, red chilies, a quarter teaspoon of fine jiru powder, a quarter teaspoon cloves, a quarter teaspoon of cinnamon powder, half a teaspoon black pepper, a pinch of ilachi, 1 teaspoon dry turner, 1 teaspoon salt, 250 grams of mashed potato, salt and white pepper for seasoning. You mix all these ingredients, then you dip the kebabs in egg, crushed cornflakes, crushed parsley, coarse red chilies, and you bake it in the oven for about 8 to 10 minutes. Very easy and simple.
Okay. So you're going to basically dip it in your cornflakes, your crushed cornflakes,
yes.
Your crushed parsley, and your coarse red chili.
Yes.
Let's quickly repeat that recipe. It's a cutlet recipe. You will require 500 grams of chicken mince. It's chicken mince and literature. Okay. Then red chilies. That's basically how strong you want.
Exactly.
Okay. A quarter teaspoon fine jiru. A quarter teaspoon cloves. A quarter teaspoon cinnamon, a half teaspoon of black pepper, then a pinch of ilachi, a teaspoon of dry turner, and a teaspoon of salt. 250 grams mashed potato, some salt to taste, and white pepper for seasoning. Then you dip it in egg, cornflakes crushed, crushed parsley, and coarse red chilies. And you bake for 8 to 10 minutes.
Yes.
So you form into cutlets, you dip it into your egg, your cornflakes, your parsley. You make a mixture of
it. You actually make the mixture with your parsley.
And then you bake it.
Yes, and you bake it in the oven.
Oh, lovely.
It's very healthy, actually, because you don't have to fry it.
Okay. So we go on to the next recipe. It's a kebab recipe.
Yes. For the kebab recipe, it's again 500 grams of chicken mince, one fried onion, one onion grated and squeezed out the water, crushed jiru, green chilies and garlic, lemon pepper, a teaspoon of baking powder, you cut green turner, salt to taste, and about 3 tablespoons of lemon juice. You mix all together as for kebabs and you shape and fry in lemon butter. For the sauce, you melt your butter, you add garlic flakes, sesame seeds, mustard sauce, piri piri sauce, mayo, you boil and you pour over the shish kebabs. You serve it with chips and pita.
Lovely.
Mm. It's a meal on its own.
Yes, for the kebab recipe, it's 500 grams chicken mince, one onion fried, one onion grated, you squeeze out the water, crushed jiru, green chilies and garlic, lemon pepper, a teaspoon of baking powder, then cut up fresh dhania and salt to taste, and you squeeze 3 tablespoons of lemon juice. Mix together as for kebabs, shape and fry in lemon butter. For the sauce, you melt butter, add garlic flakes, sesame seeds, mustard sauce, piri piri sauce, mayonnaise, boil and pour over shish and serve with chips and pita. This really sounds tasty.
Yes. It's a meal on its own.
And I see when it comes to your green chilies, your lemon pepper, you just need to basically your salt. You
according
need to
your taste,
yes.
How strong you want to and you just adjust.
But you know also another tip, Antikrita, when you're making kebabs, actually it takes extra salt.
It does take extra salt.
Because it absorbs a lot of salt.
Yes, it does.
So you would put about a teaspoon, and you can always add in your salt.
In
taste it and in air, always
yes,
add
no,
in
it
air.
Does.
Okay. The next recipe is 4-in-1 cutlets.
Okay, for the 4-in-1 cutlets, you need 1 cup of mashed potatoes, 1 cup grated cheese, 1 cup boiled spaghetti, and 1 cup of cubed chicken fillet. For the chicken fillet, you cook it with a teaspoon of ghee, 1 teaspoon green chilies, 1/2 teaspoon of ginger garlic masala, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, salt and pepper to taste. You mix all the ingredients together and you form into balls. You flatten and you roll in breadcrumbs, flat and dip it in egg and fry in shallow oil. It can freeze also.
Okay. So I think everybody's favorite in the month of Ramadan.
Yes,
it is a very nice savory. You know, when I make it, I leave out the cheese.
Is it?
I actually leave out the cheese.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
4-in-1 cutlet is 1 cup mashed potatoes, 1 cup grated cheese, 1 cup boiled spaghetti, and 1 cup cubed chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So you cook your chicken with your ghee, 1 teaspoon of ghee, 1 teaspoon of green chilies, 1/2 teaspoon of ginger garlic, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, some salt and black pepper to taste. Then you mix all ingredients and form into balls. Flatten and roll in breadcrumbs. Dip in egg and fry in shallow oil. It freezes very well.
Yes.
I leave out the cheese.
Okay.
But it still forms very well because you've got your mashed potato.
Your mashed potato which binds it really well.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the final recipe is a Sikh kebab recipe.
Okay. For the Sikh kebab recipe, it's 1/2 kilo of chicken fillet, wash and drain, 1 onion, 2 slices of bread, salt to taste, 1/2 teaspoon black pepper, 1 teaspoon of jeera, a tablespoon of crushed garlic, 2 tablespoons of ground almonds, 2 tablespoons of Nestle's cream, ground green chilies to taste, green dhania, that's your fresh dhania. Now for the sauce, you need 2 tablespoons of butter, a juice of 1/2 lemon, and 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise. Your method, you magic mix everything together, you form into long Sikh kebabs, put in a pot with a little water and olive oil and steam. Now for your sauce method, you boil everything, pour the sauce over your kebabs, put under a hot grill to brown, serve with roasted sesame potatoes. Now for your roasted sesame potatoes, you cut 4 potatoes into wedges. You parboil your potatoes that have been boiled. In your Pyrex, you add 2 tablespoons of olive oil. To it, you add salt, fine red chilies, and you cut up some fresh mint. Toss the potatoes and sprinkle sesame seeds and bake in oven.
It is so divine.
It's really very tasty.
Let's repeat the recipe. It's Sikh kebabs. It's 1/2 kilo of chicken fillet. You wash and you drain it. 1 onion, 2 slices of bread, some salt to taste, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 teaspoon of jeera, that's your cumin. Then you will require 1 tablespoon of crushed garlic, 2 tablespoons ground almonds, 2 tablespoons Nestle cream, ground green chilies to taste, and some cut up fresh green dhania. For the sauce, you make 2 tablespoons of butter, the juice of 1/2 lemon, and 2 tablespoons mayonnaise. Now for the method, you imagine mix everything together, form into long Sikh kebabs, put in a pot with a little water and olive oil, and you steam it. Now for the method for the sauce, you boil everything, pour sauce over kebabs, and put under hot grill to brown, and serve with roasted sesame potatoes. And the recipe for the roasted sesame potatoes is as follows. You cut 4 potatoes into wedges, and you parboil it. And then in your Pyrex, you add 2 tablespoons olive oil to it. You add salt and fine red chilies. To taste, cut some fresh mint and toss potato sprinkles, sesame seeds, and bake in the oven.
Yes.
It's a meal on its own.
No, it is. Gee.
Okay. And this message says, Salam's best kebab is Desai Meats. And another sister also said that she bought lovely shish kebab from Mia's. Another one says Jolly Grubbers.
Okay.
And she says her mother-in-law adds 1 teaspoon of baking powder and 1 tablespoon of vinegar for soft, fluffy kebabs.
Yes.
And it is true.
It is true.
Yes. Just before you actually going to fry it, you just add 1 teaspoon of baking powder.
A bit of baking.
If you're going to fry the kebabs, yes. Mm-hmm. This one says, how does one cook paya without having a sheep smell?
Mm. Oh, that's a difficult one.
Yeah.
I don't ever cook it, so I wouldn't know.
Yes, okay. Let us quickly go to... Okay, Sister Rukshana says, around the Sikh kebabs are divine. She made it many, many times.
Okay.
So, jazakallah for that. And, okay, so that's where we leave it for today. To all the listeners who actually called in, and to my guest, Sister Zaida, and to actually those who actually also WhatsApp us as well, and I couldn't read out your messages, I must apologize. Inshallah, next week we will be sharing your messages that you sent through in this week's program as well, and share your hints and tips as well, and also answering all your questions. But if you still need Antiquarius telephone number, you can call Sister Faiza on 011-854-7022. And also, if you don't have access to internet for all the lovely recipes, you can call her. She'll keep a copy for you and you can come and pick it up. And also, if you've got access to internet, go to the Radio Islam website at radioislam.co.za for all those lovely, delicious recipes. So from myself, Antiquarius Ibrahim, and our engineer Usama, inshallah, next week we'll be back with you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.